Matt Duncan, Regional Superintendent of Schools, joining us in the studios this morning. First off, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Tom.
How's the school year been so far?
Wow. It's the end of January. We're into February, getting ready for testing going forward and toward the end of winter sports seasons and spring break and Easter and graduation. He'll be here before you know. That's
right.
What we always tell seniors. It's going to go by quicker than you think.
And it will. Spring will be here in no time. No, not counting the 70-degree high for
tomorrow.
Well,
I can't imagine why we've got kids sick every day at school.
Yeah, I know. I've seen a lot of it around, too. Here's the thing. The way it looks right now, there are two high-profile plans. The first being the one that Andy Menar is so closely affiliated with, but other people are being involved, but he is the one that's out championing that and has been in the studio doing just that here with me. But more recent is this, I think it's either 26 or 27 member commission from Governor Rauner. They were assigned the task of how to fund schools. Now, what they've come up with, Matt, is a population-based needs formula. Population-based I get, but always I see this need word, and I keep wondering if somebody's going to redefine what a need is so that they can put money where they want instead of an equal redistribution. I'm so skeptical, and it's because I'm from Illinois. It's because we've watched. Do you see something in this commission? Do you think that it could gain traction, or is this just another passing shadow of prospects?
As we've become the second show-me state, and I understand that as well. This funding commission, actually, when the governor established it, it was to look at all the funding formulas and ideas that had been around, and they covered and reviewed everything and came up with some suggestions, but nothing in the form of a bill to actually move, which is what you got to have to
do
something.
I did see one of the members of the commission did say in an interview last week that it was very clear the legislature would have to be involved to implement. This was not just a policy out of the governor's mansion.
But as Senator Maher as Andy Menar had done a lot of work on drawing attention to something's got to be done with this formula over the last two and a half years,
and
traveling the state.
That's the part. When you said he did a lot of work, he went out and talked to a lot of people.
A lot of people on an issue that isn't an easily winnable issue, but pointing out the problem, and he came up with some solutions. One of the other groups that had been also working before the last gubernatorial election was the Management Alliance of Schools. That was an initiative called Vision 2020. It was started by the Illinois Association of School Administrators, Superintendents Association, joined by the business officials, the Principals Association, the School Board Association, the Regional Superintendents of School. We have watched education reform through the years be handled by people from the outside, and we thought, you know, we're the ones that do this every day. We should be the experts. We know what we need. How about we develop some ideas?
It sounds a little too much like common sense.
And the advantage of groups like IASA is three of the last six or seven presidents have been from Southern Illinois. Gary Kelly, Steve Webb from Gorville, and Derek Hutchins from Crab Orchard right now. Brent Clark is from Johnson City, is the executive director. So we have Southern Illinois rural school voices at the table going through this. Went through a lot of meetings, and they had latched on to this evidence-based formula, which is research-based, which is the hot wording right now. We want everything to be research-based. That was developed. Of course, that also means it's a little bit complicated, but it was a way to see where schools were, see what is adequate for each school district, make sure that each school district is getting enough local input. In other words, so you don't sandbag and not have your property taxes at a very high level so you can get more state money, but to make sure that that's all equitable and then work funding off of that. That was a key point that this commission seemed to jump on. They didn't jump exactly on what matches that Vision 2020 evidence-based model, but they were close to it. Is it another report that's going to lay on the shelf? Well, we'll see about that. But I know in the meantime, there have been other people in the Capitol. Senator Kim Lightford, who helped push education reform a few years ago. Will Davis, a former an SIU alum who's a representative upstate. Other people who have been working, trying to, knowing we've got to do something. And as the Senate gathers this week to try to push through the 13 bills in some kind of big mass compromise, some of these points coming from this plan are a part of this. Senator Menard was a part of this commission.
Oh, he was and had his own plan and part of this commission.
He was part of this commission, and he's also still involved in the conversations. Jason Berrickman, a senator from the Bloomington area, who was the one that carried the bill for evidence-based last year before this commission was even created, he's also been there. So you've got the people and the players who have been part of this whole conversation that's been happening behind the scenes who are there trying to make this work. But, of course, on any reform, and funding reform especially, we have to have will. And
all right, let's take a look at that word.
Ahead.
Do we have the will to take funding away from very rich districts in the north and redistribute that money to the poor district in the south? That's the will that you're talking about, isn't it, Matt?
Do we have
the will to have what would somebody would convince themselves that they're a loser, even though they've got two pools and spend twice as much money per student? They'd still say, we lost, when in fact they didn't. You've got a choice between a pool and a roof. Which ones do you pick?
It's are we in this together? Are we united? You know, United States, united to get all those kinds of things. Are we in this together or not?
It's also tribes is what we'll call this, for lack of a better word, because small interrelation groups. But, I mean, that's really a problem. It's a problem with the budget. It's a problem with funding education. Nobody wants blood on their hands for taking something away from someone.
It's part of where we've become, where everything's become so polarized, and us versus them. And, of course, people do make hay on funding and working and tossing out those points all day just to come up with talking points to bash the other side,
right,
as opposed to working together. It's a matter of will. Now, these proposals, both I think the one from the commission led by Dr. Beth Purvis, the Secretary of Education, who did a very good job keeping this group of about 30 together, which is a task in itself,
yeah.
And the evidence-based, et cetera. Keeping those things together and moving has been a trick. But then how do you get the legislation through with so many things? You know, the reason why it's hard to do a grand bargain is it's grand.
Are we making something hard that doesn't have to be hard? If Albert Einstein can go E equal MC squared and explain some of the basic building blocks in the universe using a couple of figures, can't we go, here's how much money we have and here how many students we are, X divided by Y equals, and then distribute the money? Why is that impractical?
Why have I moved to a place where housing values are higher? Why do I find communities like that? Well, I also want good schools. Let me move to that community. Even a little of the concern, we have been, we just passed the 100th distribution of Williamson County sales tax, school facility tax, which has been a great thing for us. Over 46 counties have followed us in that, including Franklin County for us. However, does that mean that the counties along the interstate, the counties that have passed this, now have jumped ahead in their facilities and made them more attractive to people wanting to move there? What does that do to the places away from the commercial corridors of Illinois? It's one of those things. Again, are we in this together? Are we going to continue to do what especially in Southern Illinois, we've done, which is communities out for themselves instead of working together.
I think you just talked about, because I had the sales figures here from what was distributed to local communities. Carterville, $117,000 from the Williamson County School Facility Sales Tax. Carterville, $117,000, $130,000 for Heron. But that's how this is done, isn't it? For each one of those students, and that's why. You can look in Williamson County and find out that there's a Williamson County student that goes to school in Thompsonville. One, they get $52.37 for him or her. The math works here.
Yes. Yes. Of course, this is something that we didn't know we had to begin with. This is based on how much you get in, it gets divided up. That's not how property tax works. That's not how all those other things work. And then, again, as we go forward, some districts are going to have more cash on hand to be able to do newer, fancier things, and some are not. And we still haven't equalized anything.
Right. Haves and have-nots, one way to look at this. But at some point, we have to come to terms with the fact that some schools are awarded much higher sums from taxpayer funding than others. And that when it comes to many things, you know, people say, well, the government should run like a business. In some cases, it does not. Education is one of those, in my humble opinion, because we don't see them somebody at the front gate charging a ticket every time you come in for a high school. It's not a business.
Right.
It's an investment with uncertain returns.
With local control, which we would defend our right to that a long way.
Right. So, I mean, I'm trying to find a way forward when it comes to getting people. Because you know what? Here's the real fact. Some school administrators know they're getting a really sweet deal in some portions of Illinois right now, and they don't want to overturn the apple cart either.
Well, no.
They don't. So they're saying, no, but it is fair, and our students do need this. Okay. But what about the town that's using books that doesn't even recognize the International Space Station or man has walked on the moon? I mean, we're using history books that are really outdated. No International Space Station. Russia is still a communist country. All this stuff. Those are the books that we're
not waiting for the cycle of history. But yeah,
right, coming back around again. Well, the books have been here so long, they're right again. And that these fundamental ways say, look, you guys have a chef that comes in once a month to make sushi. We're all setting. We have to rotate through our cafeteria room, and we get tater tots, and we have to dodge the raindrops. Those are functional, visible disparities, and still a willingness to act as the will that you talked about to do it doesn't come to us.
Well, here's where the funding formulas have been working. It was to at least provide a minimum, because with local control, school districts that can't afford it may tax enough to spend $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, $13,000 per kid and have some of those advantages. Keep in mind, when this formula was set, they also dealt with poverty and some other things that affect the numbers, trying to equalize things. $6,719, I believe, is the base funding formula. That's what an adequate education is, which hasn't been moved up in 7-8 years.
You're really $719?
$6,000.
Some odd dollars.
All okay. Right. When we've talked about proration the last few years,
yeah,
the state hasn't even been funding up to that part of its portion. So it's fell upon the local school districts to keep up. So we haven't even got to that point. In all these funding formulas, it's still going to take more money, even in the evidence-based. Of course, part of the reason it's going to take more money is we don't want any losers at the end of the day to get this passed the first time.
Right.
Although we could still defend this is what adequate is.
This is what our need is.
And that's why you also haven't seen numbers run specifically yet, which I think Senator Menard's plan, there was a number and then there were two more numbers within 24 hours, and then everybody's simply looking at what the number at the end is. And you will hear the reformers say, we don't want to worry just about the number at the end is. We want to worry about how we got to that number. Well, that's true, but if you're the kid that didn't get the same width of pie that all the other kids got, you're still not a very happy camper.
Right. So what's going to happen next? We're going to talk about this, not going to do anything, and then we're going to be just a little more stupid by next year?
Well, I would say that this week with what happens in the Senate is the big push that something can happen on all parts of the budget.
That's not going to pass.
And
I'm telling you that I don't think there's enough legislators in there that are going to say, we want to make the most expensive corporate tax in the world. We want to increase property personal income tax that much. I think there's a whole lot of people out there that aren't willing to put their name next to that, even if they do believe it, because they want to get reelected.
Yes, and the beauty of democracy is you also want to be responsive to the people, and the people at times want to make the easiest choices,
well,
too.
And there's no easy choice here, because sitting here talking to you, there's one thing that I'm very clear. I'm confused. I understand, and I'm still confused. I think we've made something harder than it has to be. I keep thinking, are we trying to reinvent the bloody wheel when we don't have to? And I understand, because what attracted me when you talked about that commission is they went out and saw what other states were doing and kind of compile that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel, but we've got to be willing to turn it, to change it, to swing the hammer, and that there's a hesitancy there because nobody wants to pay the piper if it doesn't work out. They want to be held responsible.
And so we hover. And then people are unhappy about that. So then let's throw everybody out and do something. But there's always a thing of doing something doesn't necessarily is not a wise thing to do either. Let's think through it and develop evidence. I mean, that's what they've been telling us. Teachers, you don't need to just think that something works as far as educating. You need it to be research-based. I mean, that's been all the reforms that we've been had piled on us the last few years.
Right. Research. And I get that, too. I want it to be research-based. I'd like it to be good, reasonable, well-done research instead of, you know, policy-based research, as they call this now, facts that are derived from policy. You read this? This is a new trend. Policy-based data. Scary words. You'll probably hear them again in the not-too-distant future. Matt, it's always good to see you.
You too.
I'd like to see a path forward. I'd like to see an E equal MC squared formula for school funding.
I think this is the week to watch, and then when we get past this, if everything collapses, then we're kind of puttering along like we have been.
I mean, imagine, you know, a student with a variable in the formula that bases on property taxes. You went to that time and time again. You know, there is a way to build a very simple formula if we've got those building blocks and the research on how to distribute money.
Of course, if it was simple, it would have been solved.
Oh, I think it's simple. I think it's simple. I think people don't want it to be simple.
Are we back to will?
Are we back to will again? If you have the guts to go for it and make the change. And this is the thing that bothers me by far the most of anything whatsoever. That we can have an argument for 4, 8, 12 years, and a small student going through the entire system does not get all the benefits and educational opportunity that is done because people in Springfield are part of a wholesale failure when it comes to failing funding education. You only have these kids for a short time. The building blocks for a good citizen, the building block for somebody who can go out and find a job and not end up in prison. You go talk to a prison counselor and you say, what's the common denominator of the people that are in prison? It's education.
Certainly.
We only have them for a limited time. This pot's been on the stove for a long time. We haven't cooked dinner. We're in trouble. That's it. It's the way I see it. We've got these kids for a limited time, and we're dropping the ball on teaching them how to be good parents, good students, good employees, good.
Thankfully, the professionals that are in there every day pitching.
Trying hard to do
yep. it and getting as many as we can. And we salute that every day.
Absolutely. Love those folks the most of all.
Yep.
Because they don't let it stop them either. They go on and they reach into their own pockets to get what they need. Don't find people like that anywhere. 839, and now they're saying there's a teacher shortage, Matt.
Yes.
Remember just a short time ago when they were lined up, I literally had a young girl, lives not far from the radio station, call me and says, who do I have to know to get a job in education? I can't seem to get in my door. Do I need to talk to my congressman? Do I call the school board? And now we can't find teachers.
Right.
And that was a very short time, very short period of time for that turnaround.